The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
Good day. What's going on, everybody? Welcome into First Take. Thank you for hanging with us. Max Kellerman, how we feeling? How we living?
Ready to go.
All right. Stephen A. will be with us in just a moment. He's in Phoenix getting all settled. Obviously, he's got a Stephen A. Sports Center tonight. That'll be fun. And, of course, the game. Let's talk about it. Game two tonight. Obviously, they're in Phoenix, the home team with a 1-0 lead. Kawhi Leonard is out again with a sprained knee. Chris Paul is also listed as out due to COVID health and safety protocols. Suns are favored by 5.5. Max Kellerman, if the Clippers lose tonight and go down 0-2, will they come back like they've done in these playoffs against the Mavs and the Jets?
Oh, I'm not ruling that out. The Clippers can lose two on the road, especially without Kawhi Leonard, and they can come back in this series. Mm-hmm. How do I know? They've done it twice in these playoffs. How do I know? What's the greatest comeback in the history of the NBA? It's the Cleveland Cavaliers coming all the way back on the Golden State Warriors, down 3-1 to the greatest team ever, right? 73 wins, and they came all the way back. And who was the coach of that team? And that's, before we even get to the rosters, what I want to talk about. Ty Lue's the best coach in the NBA. He's the guy I'd want. Listen, apologies, Greg Popovich, who's the argument for greatest coach of all time. Eric Spoelstra's a great coach. You have great coaches around the league. But if I had to choose one guy, I'm considering everything, developing players, getting, you know, their confidence right, the X's and O's, making adjustments in series, all that stuff, experience, age, factor everything in. Give me Ty Lue. I think he's the best coach in the NBA. He's the guy you want. And that's the coach you got. Now, the Clippers just went to the end of a game on the road where the Suns needed, no, they didn't have Chris Paul. The Clippers didn't have Kawhi. On the road, in front of a great, raucous hometown crowd for the Suns, with a 40-point triple-double and nearly flawless play from Devin Booker, the Clippers came that close to winning the game. No Kawhi. That close to winning the game. By the skin of their teeth, they lost. If they lose another competitive game to the Suns on the road, can they come back and win this series? Provided Kawhi comes back? Do they have a finals MVP on the team? No, they have a two-time finals MVP on the team if Kawhi's playing. Paul George has stepped up, and playoff P, it now goes back to meaning like actually he can play when it matters most. They have an excellent supporting cast. Playoff Rondo and the best coach in the game. Yes, they can do it again. All the Suns will have done if they win the first two games is defend home court.
Yep.
Clippers still going to have to win a game on the road, but the answer is you cannot count them out. They can do it.
And, Max, the other thing I want to point out, you talked about Paul George stepping it up. Post-game press conference after game one, he talked about that. Now we're just going to go back, watch the film, and work on those adjustments that you said Ty Lue is so fantastic at. I think we have Stephen A. now. Mr. Smith, you with us, sir?
I can hear y'all fine. I can't see y'all, but I can hear you. How y'all doing?
We can
see you. You're looking good. All right, so Stephen A., tell me this. If the Clippers lose tonight and they go down 0-2, do you think they'll come back again like they have in this playoffs we saw with the Mavs and the Jazz?
No. I think this is a different beast. I think when you were going against the Utah Jazz, as sensational as I believe Donovan Mitchell is, he was the only guy on the court that could make a play for himself. The rest of them were completely dependent on him and what he created for them in order for them to score the ball. And when you're playing against stout athletes like the Los Angeles Clippers with Kawhi, with Paul George, even though Kawhi wasn't there the last three games, but with a Paul George, with Reggie Jackson, who's playing for a new contract and playing lights out, with Morris and everybody else, I mean, you're going to have to show up. In the case of the Phoenix Suns, that's not their issue. Yeah, CP3 might be out, but Devin Booker, the second coming of Kobe Bryant, as far as I'm concerned, when you look at the kind of show he's capable of putting on, that's one element. When you look at Cameron Payne coming off the bench and subbing for CP3, I think that's another element. When you look at Mikal Bridges and the way that he's been playing, you look at the experience of a Jay Crowder, who's as tough as nails. All of these different things, you've got guys that are capable of creating their own shots. and making things happen and able to match the athleticism that the Los Angeles Clippers are going to be able to throw at them, if not exceed it. So when I look at it from that perspective, I say, if you go down 0-2, now the question is, are you going to beat the Phoenix Suns, the number two seed in the entire NBA? Are you going to beat the Phoenix Suns four times over the next five games? I do not see that happening. If the Los Angeles Clippers don't win this series tonight, I think they lose the series. And there's no disrespect. I mean, you look at Ty Lue and the kind of adjustments he's capable of making. Hats off to him. The great job that he has done. Brooklyn misses him. They should have hired him. The Lakers missed him. They should have hired him. Well, the Clippers got him, and he's done a hell of a job this postseason. No question about it. But in the end, without Kawhi Leonard and being down 0-2, ultimately with CP3 coming back, we know he's coming back. We don't know that about Kawhi Leonard. Los Angeles Clippers lose game two. Los Angeles Clippers lose this series.
Listen, all the Suns will have done is defend home court. Like every series that has ever been played, either we go up, home team may be in trouble, team with home court, they lost home court. You know, all you need to do is get a split on the road, or, okay, they defended home court. Now, you're right, Clippers are going to have to get a win on the road. I don't see that happening without Kawhi Leonard. They don't have Kawhi Leonard. They lose game two, of course. They're going to lose. Terrence Mann can play, and you and I have been talking about that earlier in the season. The kid can play. He's not Kawhi Leonard. But if Kawhi comes back, this team is excellent in terms of its top stars, MVP caliber, especially in the finals, in the playoffs. We've seen Kawhi do that. They have a second banana in Paul George who has stepped up. Mentioned Rondo. You mentioned the play of Reggie Jackson. Terrence Mann stepped up, and he can actually play. That's not a fluke. Morris, et cetera, et cetera.
Well,
they got a really good and deep team, Stephen A., and the best coach in the business.
Well, I get where you're coming from, Max, and I, you know, we can't summarily dismiss that, particularly with what we've seen from the Clippers. But I do think it's important to ask yourself the other question that I posed a bit earlier. Could you see the Phoenix Suns losing four times over the next five games? We've seen no evidence of that. As a matter of fact, the only thing that comes close to qualifying as evidence when you're talking about the Phoenix Suns is if you're willing to say, excuse me, they're kind of allergic to prosperity, because throughout this season, they've been known to give up some big leads. They get a bit comfortable with themselves once they know they could blow somebody out and run them out of the gym. You know what? They tend to slack off a little bit. You could make that argument. That's about it. And I just think that that's what we have to look at when we look at this team. And we got to look at a guy like a Devin Booker. And I'm going to keep bringing his name up. This is his first ever playoff.
Well, Devin Booker, we lost Stephen A. for a second. Yeah. Devin Booker, as I've been saying, is the mini Mamba. Said that going into these playoffs, in the sense that he's not as tall as Kobe was quite. He's not as good defensively. He can't get his own shot to the extent that Kobe could, but who could, right?
And we are going to discuss that later. Perk's going to join us for that conversation.
Booker is the
next Kobe Bryant.
Booker can score from anywhere like Kobe, and he's fearless. And we saw them go 8-0 in the bubble, led by Devin Booker, who was the best player in the bubble, in the regular season bubble, last year, and they picked up where they left off. But Stephen A., to go to your point about, can I see the Clippers winning 4 out of 5, it's not the way I look at it. So far, if the Suns win game two, they've held home court. And barely. They barely won game one. That says the Clippers are very competitive with them, obviously. If the Clippers hold home court, which is all you're supposed to do, now it's a 2-2 series. The Suns can win back in Phoenix. The Clippers can win back in L.A. It'll come down to a game seven. It will come down to, as it always does, is the reason you want home court. Because the team that goes up 2-0 is likely to win. You're right. Can you win them? Can you beat them 4 out of 5 going forward? But if home court simply holds, then it comes down to the Clippers needing to win a game seven on the road. Can they do that? I think they can.
Well, first of all, you already lost this argument because you said that's not the way you look at it. And we don't really mind how you look at basketball. We don't pay attention to that, Max Kellerman, because you come up with a whole bunch of things to, you know, with some of your theories and what have you straight out of Columbia. And that's what your definition of basketball is. You can look at it that way. And it's very plausible. It's not like your arguments are implausible or anything like that. I'm not trying to accuse you of such a thing. But what I'm saying is that you got to go series by series, and you have to pay attention to who you're going up against. I totally get what you're saying about the Clippers. You're not wrong. I'm not dismissing it. It's not like you're ignorant about the game of basketball. I'm not accusing you of that. I'm simply saying that when you look at the level of competition that they're going up against in this particular series. The Clippers beat you because, you know what, whether it's with Kawhi and Paul George or whomever else comes into the equation, they play a perimeter guard-oriented style of play. And when you're going up against teams that have an inability to create their own shot, the Clippers are capable of running you out the gym. When you're going up against a team that is fully capable of that, you got a different animal. And by the way, I completely disagree with you that Devin Booker, even though he's a star and he can create his own shot, not quite Kobe-esque. I'm sorry. The Devin Booker that I'm looking at, I haven't seen him have a problem getting his own shot at all.
Well,
all
no, season not, long, to the extent,
this
the
dude
extent
is something special.
Could. I mean, like, look, I love Devin
Excuse
Booker.
Excuse me?
That's why I love Devin Booker. Devin Booker idolized Kobe and was mentored by Kobe. I'm not the only person that's calling him a mini Mamba. You're now saying he's the next Kobe Bryant. Like, we're in a group, a large group of people who make that comparison. But I don't think Kobe Bryant was the best bad shot maker who ever lived. He always had a shot available to him. I'm not slighting Devin Booker. I'm just saying in that regard, Kobe's in a class by himself.
And I guess, you know, for me, Eddie Johnson, a former NBA player who does a great job on SiriusXM's NBA radio, he calls Suns games out here. And if you listen to him talk about Devin Booker, I mean, nobody has pointed out the greatness of Devin Booker more than he has, because he watches every game, because he calls every game. And when you look at Devin Booker, he just kept imploring people all year long. You know, because whenever I get a chance, it's not often, but whenever I get a chance, I listen to his show. And all year long, he's been beating that drum about Devin Booker. He's like, watch this kid. And the guy, you know what? When you talk about bad shots, Max, there aren't too many bad shots that he takes. You know why? Because he finds a way to get himself open.
He
doesn't say what Ocho Cinco says, I'm always open. You know, that's Ocho Cinco's favorite line, I'm always open. You know, he doesn't say that. But when you look at Devin Booker, it seems congested. It seems the area's congested. It seems that he's being guarded. But then all of a sudden, it's one move, it's one push off, it's one level of elevation, and somehow, some way, he always looks open when it's time to shoot. The kid's special. Kid special.
Let's keep it rolling, fellas, and now to the Eastern Conference.
We're happy we made it to the Eastern Conference Finals, but we're not satisfied.
We've worked extremely hard to be in this moment, but job is not done.
Had that chip on our shoulder all year, just having that underdog mentality.
We believe in who we are. No matter the pressure, we are built for this.
Hey, let's go. The Eastern Conference Finals will feature a showdown between the Greek Freak and Trae Young, who's been making his playoff debut. Giannis has been sensational, averaging almost 29 points per game on 13 rebounds. He's had a double-double in 11 of the 12 games. Trae Young, however, outscoring Giannis in these playoffs and is also averaging a double-double, but with assists. Max Kellerman, talk to me, sir. Who's the most important player in this series?
It's Giannis. He's got to be the MVP he normally is in the regular season, right? That's what we've been lamenting in the playoffs. He hasn't been. And what I've pointed out is it's because he's a big. Stephen A. pointed out initially. He's really more of a five than a three. Okay, so he's a big. He plays that way. And what do I religiously say on this show? Even Kareem needed a guy on his level, Oscar or Magic. Otherwise, no chips. Even Shaq needed a guy on his level, Kobe or a prime D-Wade. Otherwise, no chips. That's what a big needs, a guy to get him the ball, a guy who can create his own shot, a partner in crime. Well, Giannis doesn't have that if he's facing a big three in Brooklyn. Middleton and Drew Holiday are not that compared to what KD has in Harden and Kyrie. But you take Harden and Kyrie out, all of a sudden, Middleton's the third best player in the series. That actually elevates Giannis. Now he has a crime partner, at least better than what the other guys got. And that's what he has here, too. Who's the third best player in this series? Probably Chris Middleton. And by the way, who's the fourth, given the composition of this series, Stephen A., given the fact that Drew Holiday has a track record, not just of defense, but of locking down, in particular, smaller guards? So if you point to Trae Young, oh, they got Drew Holiday. You can't do better than that on a little guy. So that, once again, elevates Giannis's importance. He is the best player in this series, at least if you look at their regular season track records.
He needs to be that guy in this series for them to win. He's the most important player.
No, I don't believe that. I believe it's Trae Young. And the reason why I believe it's Trae Young, Max, is because if Giannis just puts up a regular performance and the rest of the Milwaukee Bucks perform, Milwaukee's fine. Trae Young's holding their playoff hopes in his hands. He's got to be spectacular, not just as a scorer, but as a setup man for the other bodies. The Capellas of the world, the Collins of the world, the Herders of the world, all the others. Bogdanovich, of course. He's got to do it because that's their only hope. Outside of that, I see this series ending in 5 games. I think that Atlanta has surprised us. They didn't surprise us with the Knicks. They were the better team. I knew that, regardless of how I felt. But against the Philadelphia 76ers, to win games 1, 5, and 7 in Philadelphia, I did not anticipate that. They deserve a lot of credit for that. And then you look at Milwaukee. Milwaukee's just a Goliath against them. They're just too big. When they want to be, they can be stout defensively. Giannis going downhill. They have absolutely, positively no answer for that whatsoever. And on the defensive side of the ball, with Trae Young penetrating into the seams of the defense, a key for them could end up being Brooks Lopez even more so than Giannis, because what you have to do is somebody's got to stay at home to prevent those alley-oops from, you know, being caught by Capella. But in the end, what it comes down to is this. When you've got a Jrue Holiday to defend, when you've got a Chris Middleton to defend, when you've got a P.J. Tucker to defend for you, all right, on the defensive side of the ball for the Milwaukee Bucks, you're going to need Trae Young to be the creator, the orchestrator. If he's not that floor general for you, Milwaukee does, you know, the Hawks don't stand a chance. They don't have a chance at all. You have a chance without Giannis because of the other pieces at play, particularly when a guy like Middleton is capable of showing up for a game and dropping 39 for you the way that he did against Brooklyn. Okay, this guy proved to be a viable secondary option. Jrue Holiday didn't even have a good series against Brooklyn, but he made some big shots down the stretch. P.J. Tucker can really, really defend, and he's given them a personality transplant that was so desperately needed. You can find a way to beat Atlanta with the Greek Freak averaging 25 instead of 30, or being just a regular, ordinary, good talent instead of the great one that he is. Trae Young absolutely, positively needs to be great in order for Atlanta to have a chance in this series.
Yeah, I don't know if they win if Giannis is only okay. You know, the thing about Giannis that makes him different than Ben Simmons from the last series, because they have certain things in common. Ben Simmons more of an actual guard, has better handles and everything, an even better passer, though Giannis is a good passer. But Giannis does not have, like, a psychotic problem shooting the ball. He's not a great shooter, but he will take a shot. And because he takes shots, he'll hit them 3 out of 10 times from the outside. That makes him different than Ben Simmons. That's the reason the Bucks have a chance, provided other teams don't have stars with second and third bananas better than Middleton and Jrue Holiday. So no, Giannis's excellence is the reason you favor the Bucks here. If you make Giannis more like a Simmons who just won't shoot the ball, I probably like the Hawks, even with Middleton and Holiday. But Stephen A., if I take your point, I think it's a good point about what they need from Trae Young. He's got to play out of his mind for them to have a chance to win. But even then, I would look to a different player as the most important in that case, and that would be Jrue Holiday. We've seen Jrue Holiday,
well, first of all,
not against big guards, smaller guards, Stephen A., you can't do better than that defensively.
Well, first of all, let's understand something. Let's not lie to the American public on this morning, Max Kellerman. All my basketball points are good points. So that's number one. Let's just get that out the way
make
right
a compliment.
Now. I don't make bad points about basketball. It's incredibly important, so thank you so much. That's number one. Number two, and more importantly, Max Kellerman, here's the deal. All of those things that we point out, we all understand this game, and we understand what Milwaukee's brought to the table because we've seen it. What I'm saying is what you've seen from Herder. Like, for example, Seth Curry is guarding Herder in Game 7. Clearly, Doc Rivers, you know, Danny Green being out, you got to find somebody else to put on Herder because Seth Curry was undersized. Who's undersized on Milwaukee? It's not P.J. Tucker. It's not Jrue Holiday. It's not Chris Middleton. There is no undersized. So think about the advantages, okay? You have a situation where you get to put a bigger guy on Trae Young at all times. You get to put a guy at least who's the size of a Herder at all times. You look at a Collins, you look at a Capella, you got to deal with the Greek Freak and Brooke Lopez down low. You got P.J. Tucker and how strong-willed he can be. That's a person that could guard Bogdanovich. That's a person that could guard Herter himself. These kind of things that you have at your disposal on the defensive side of the ball, the only person that's capable of taking advantage of it is a cat quick point guard who's so quick and so electrifying at times that he can ultimately facilitate for other guys to get them open shots. That's how you're going to have a chance to beat Milwaukee Atlanta. Trey Young is your only hope, really.
But if that's the case, then I'm looking, if I take your point, I say it's Giannis, but I'll take your point and say no. Then in that case, I still don't think it's Trey Young. I think it's Drew Holiday. Because Drew Holiday is the small point guard neutralizer. You can talk about bigger matchups on Trae Young. He'll cook a bigger matchup usually.
Hold it.
Too quick.
Come out.
But Drew Holiday.
Did you say, time out.
Yeah.
Time out. You switching up. You said the Greek Freak. So I was refuting the Greek Freak with somebody for Atlanta, and now you went to the Greek Freak's teammate?
No. My point is we simply disagree. I say Giannis. You say Trae Young. What I'm saying is you want to take your point of Trae Young, I'll still take a different player, which is Drew Holiday. Because if you're saying Trae Young is that important, then the key to the series becomes actually Drew Holiday. It still ain't Trae Young.
Okay, so Molly, you just going to let him switch up like that. That's okay. So
switch
you went
up.
From the Greek Freak to Drew Holiday. It's all right.
What else?
I hit you with two Trae Young. You got the 1-2 combo just then.
What else is new?
You didn't say the Greek Freak and Drew Holiday initially. You said the Greek Freak, and then when I brought up Trae Young, then you switched to Drew Holiday. You tried to switch it up. I'm sticking with Trae Young.
Yes,
he's the key to Atlanta because he's their only hope. Their only hope.
The answer is Giannis. What I'm pointing out is even by your own logic, you would take a different player. Not Trae Young, but Drew Holiday. But the answer is Giannis.
I'm sorry. I misunderstood Max Kellerman. I'm sorry. You understand? It's my apologies. My apologies.
You're not going on a lot of sleep. I know.
It's been a long night. I'm operating on 90 minutes sleep. My bad. I misunderstood.
What else
I'm
is
sorry.
New?
Giannis, Drew new? Holiday, Drew Holiday, Giannis. Either or. You want to throw in somebody else right. along the way before you finish?
Take a nap before the next segment.
Hey, I'm Molly Karam, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. Have you ridden an electric bike yet? Well, you need to check out Lectric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to more exploring time outside on their bikes. So they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range for up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus, Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome. So you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting lectricebikes.com. That's L-E-C-T-R-I-C ebikes.com. Hey, Molly Karam here, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. Vivid Seats wants to get you to the games you love this spring. Experience every pitch, assist, game-winning shot live and in person. And the best part, each transaction is a step toward a free 11th ticket with Vivid Seats rewards. Score unbeatable perks like free tickets, surprise seat upgrades, and annual birthday deals. As the official ticketing partner of ESPN, Vivid Seats is offering you $20 off your first $200 ticket purchase with code TAKE. That's code TAKE. Visit vividseats.com or download the app today. Vivid Seats. Experience it live. Let's get it. Ben Simmons' offensive struggles were a big talking point in these playoffs. It started with his shot selection. In 12 games, Simmons attempted 95 shots. Just one of those came outside of the paint. In the fourth quarter, the shots disappeared entirely. In nearly 80 minutes of fourth quarter play, Simmons took just 6 attempts against the Hawks in games 4-7. He took 0 attempts in the fourth, but his struggles were most evident at the free throw line, as Simmons shot just 34%, the worst free throw percentage by any player in playoff history, with a minimum of 70 attempts. Here's Doc Rivers, who's also taken some heat of late.
I know exactly what we want to do. I'm positive in Ben. I'm very bullish on Ben still. But there's work you know, Mark. There is, and Ben will be willing to do it, and that's the key. You know, sometimes you have to go through stuff to see it, and be honest with it.
Got to put in that work. Big Perk knows what that takes, an NBA champion himself. Good to see you, sir. I will get to you in just a moment, but I'm going to start with Max Kellerman on this one, if that's okay with you, Perk and Stephen A. Max, is Ben Simmons fixable?
Yeah, I think he can be fixed, not in Philly. Like the Philly fans who get such a bad rap for riding guys, and they deserve it sometimes, they've supported Ben Simmons just like they supported Markelle Fultz. Fultz would hit a free throw, they'd go nuts, right? Because they were trying to build him up. And they've done that with Simmons time and again. How could you stick with this guy after that performance? He has to get out of town. He's going to have to leave. But guys, watch Summer League from a couple years ago. He was taking and hitting shots. Jump shots, believe it or not. It's there in him somewhere. The problem is between the ears. So where could he go to get fixed? I think Magic was on the show yesterday. And we were talking about, and I was saying, like, which coach could fix him? And Magic was talking about a veteran player. Well, who's his agent? Rich Paul, Clutch Sports, right? Where might they be able to swing a trade, especially now that he's so devalued? Maybe the Lakers. Maybe it's LeBron James, whose game Simmons resembles in certain ways, in many ways, in fact. Maybe that's where he has to go. To get the proper kind of veteran guidance with a chance to win and a franchise where maybe he eventually gets the keys. I think he's fixable, guys. It cannot occur in Philadelphia.
Well, if it can't occur in Philadelphia, which we both agree on, then that means it can't be fixed. Because the only reason we're asking this question is because he's in Philadelphia. We're certainly not advocating that Ben Simmons be removed from the NBA, that he's not on an NBA roster, that he doesn't play in an NBA uniform. Nobody is saying that. The reason why this question exists is because after losing yet again in the conference semifinals for the third time in 4 years, we're looking at Ben Simmons being coached by Doc Rivers, not Brett Brown this time, and we're saying, okay, what does the future hold from him? There. And the answer is he needs to go. And he needs to go because Philadelphia is a very unforgiving environment. You know, the die has been cast. We get all of that. Doc Rivers, with all due respect, all his experiences and everything else, he's a champion. He coached in Boston. Kendrick Perkins, correct me if I'm wrong. He coached in Boston where he won a championship and went to 2 NBA finals in 3 years. He coached in Orlando before that. He coached the Clippers after that. He's coaching Philadelphia now this first year. I believe this was his first year in there. And Doc Rivers was on somewhat of a honeymoon because in the city of Philadelphia, he was a godsend compared to Brett Brown. No disrespect. I'm just giving you fact. So he's not really feeling the heat. As somebody that worked in Philadelphia for 17 years, that was a columnist for the last 7 years there, let me tell you something. It ain't going to get any easier for Ben Simmons, and here's why it's not going to get any easier. And Kendrick Perkins will side with me, I'm pretty damn sure. He's going to side march with me lockstep on this. 4 years Ben Simmons been in the NBA. The game is the same. He can go downhill. He can rebound. He's an elite defender. But offensively, he does nothing different. He never developed this game. He's in California. You know, sitting chilling with the Kardashians. You know, if you remember when Jimmy Butler was there 2 years ago. I mean, last year, remember, they had lost and got blown out in Miami, right? They got blown out in Miami, and the whole team left. But he stayed in South Beach. That was reported. What I'm saying to you is this. This ain't like the old days where you got to get a second job to make ends meet because the sport doesn't pay you enough money. This brother's getting paid over $30 million a year. You got brothers getting paid to do nothing but play basketball. And what I monitor, and I believe I'm an absolute expert at this, I monitor what you were compared to what you are. I'm watching whether or not you developed your game. Did you work on it? Ben Simmons looks the same as he has always looked, which means he never worked on his game. And if you didn't work on your game, why should I trust you?
if I'm Philly. Yeah, 4 years. I gave you 30 plus million per, and you still didn't work on your game. I'm sorry. You got to go in another direction.
You know what? Here's the thing I think we all need to ask ourselves and ask and be honest. Who is Ben Simmons, okay? And we want to label him as a point guard, right? And I don't feel that way. In college, he played the power forward, and he flourished well at that position. To me, I'm looking at Ben Simmons right now, and he's a Sabonis-type player. The way that Sabonis, the way that the Pacers use Sabonis, that's how Ben Simmons has to be used. He has to be a guy that's able to be initiating the offense, going dribble handoffs, rolling to the basket, being a lob threat, getting the ball on the low block, getting touches around the paint area, you know, and assisting. He's still great at facilitating for others because he led the NBA this year in 3 points assisted. But when I look at Ben Simmons in the situation, I want to be fair because I was very critical of him on the get up yesterday. And I had to think about this. Go back and look at Ben Simmons' game, the Philadelphia 76ers game without Joel Embiid. He was on the tear. Matter of fact, he dropped 40 on Rudy Gobert down there in Utah, the Defensive Player of the Year, doing what he do best, attacking downhill. So when I'm looking at Ben Simmons, I feel like his confidence was lost throughout the course of the season because they were running so much through Joel Embiid and he was standing around so much, not diving and getting the touches, getting the feel for the basketball, being able to shoot his hooks, not being able to get those post touches at a consistent basis, and it's transpired into the postseason. So when you ask him to start delivering in the postseason, now all of a sudden his confidence is gone. It's shot because the offense, 70% of the offense is ran through Joel Embiid. So with that being said, they got to ship him off somewhere, probably to Minnesota, where he'll fit in with Carl Anthony Towns, who love to float around the three-point line and let Ben Simmons dominate the paint area.
Well, see, I think the thing that's important to deduce from what you're saying, KP, is that, like me and Max, you're not saying the brother can't be a star in this league. You're not saying that he can't play in this league at a very high level. You're just saying Philadelphia is no longer the place. And why are we saying that? We're saying that for two reasons. Number one, we're saying it because we know Joel Embiid ain't going nowhere for the foreseeable future. You know, it ain't like you're going to sit Joel Embiid on a bench for him. That's number one. Number two, and more importantly, I will be consistent with what I said, just like you brought up what you said at the very beginning, before a game was played this year. I was on the record. Philadelphia ain't winning a championship when your primary ball handler can't shoot the basketball. Ben Simmons has to be able to shoot the basketball in order for the Philadelphia 76ers to shine to the level that we want, because he's too gifted in every other area not to be on the floor. You have to have him on the floor because he's gifted in every other way. Right. But offensively, against the better teams in the postseason, offensively, the Philadelphia 76ers are playing 4-5 because he's not a threat from the perimeter, and that compromises what you need done come postseason time. That's why I ain't say take money out of his pocket. I didn't say he doesn't deserve his money. I'm saying in Philadelphia, he's not that player. He has to go somewhere else. It can't be here.
Well, that's why Brett Brown put him in the dunker spot in the playoffs. He was unplayable at the point guard position, to your point, KP. But the only thing is that given his speed and his handles, he's not going to be Sabonis or whoever you want to compare him to. Like, the temptation to play him at the point, he has elite speed at 6'10". Who's ever had better handles at the height of 6'10"? He's dynamic. He can get to the basket. He can finish at the basket, you know, when he's not scared to go to the free throw line. His court vision is A+. His passing is A+. It's too tempting to have him run the team. And since we've seen him hit jump shots in the past in summer league, that means what's happening is not that he's capable of doing it. He refuses to do it. But the point is, Perk, what's the real difference between the ears? He's not.
Max,
the bigger the
Max,
speed, the scarier, the more Max, scared he is.
Max, Big Perk. Big Perk and Max, I just received a text. I just received, you know how Max, I get my text messages during the show. Y'all know that. I just received a text from somebody very, very close to the situation in Philadelphia about Ben Simmons. This is a quote. This is not me. This is them. Quote, he doesn't work. He doesn't listen. And everyone around him is family. And he's constantly babied.
Yeah, that's
the word
that's credible,
out
isn't
about
it?
Ben Simmons.
That's credible. Let me just say this, guys. This is why I said, Perk, the Lakers would be the place for him. I think Magic is right. It needs to come from a veteran player, that kind of mentorship. Someone like LeBron James could do it. It has to have someone with real gravitas who has a game similar to his to take him under his wing and say, this is how it's done.
Max, he's represented by Clutch Sports. That's close enough to LeBron James. They talked.
Yes. And Max, Danny Green is on that team, right? He's a three-time champion. He know how to rub off on them for his hard work. Dwight Howard is over there. He's a champion, a future Hall of Famer. That's hard work. But look,
that'd
to your point, Max,
is,
and this is why this is why I want you to graduate and grow with me, okay? I want you to actually start. Listen, this is why I actually want you to watching the game, except when there's national televised throughout the course of the season, and actually turn on the league pass. Because if you watch Indiana Pacers, you will watch Sabonis grab a rebound and push the ball up the floor and initiate the offense. That don't mean that he's the point guard. All I'm saying is he's a dual forward. He's a power forward that can handle the rock and initiate dribble handoffs. And what I'm saying is my whole point to you, Max, was him and Embiid just don't fit. I wanted to see it happen. But it's just not going to happen. They don't fit. They need their own team. They need their own space. He's a third option guy, and he would fit well with Carl Anthony Towns and Anthony Edwards in Minnesota.
All right.
Not enough shooting maybe with Edwards and Simmons, but yeah, I like it.
Hey, Molly?
Yeah.
Molly, Max talks so damn much, he doesn't even listen enough to give his own self credit. Long before me or Kendrick Perkins ever said anything, over a year ago, you can roll up the tape. Max said Joel Embiid and Ben Simmons don't fit. He would trade one of them. Mm-hmm. So Max Kellerman was one of the first people to bring that up. But he talks so damn much, he forgets what he says and didn't even remember to give his own self credit for that.
That's nice.
He actually
that
said
that
over a year ago. Max
nice.
Beat me to that.
That.
I rely on you
Max
for that.
Beat me to that.
Hey, I'm Molly Karam, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
First Take fans, listen up. Have you heard you can listen to episodes of this very show ad-free on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership? That's right. All your favorite First Take episodes can be heard on Amazon Music ad-free. But that's not all. You can listen to other top podcasts like The Low Post and PTI ad-free as well. They also have favorite shows like The Daily, Part of My Take, and Up First, all without ads. You know what this means? Uninterrupted listening, so no more cliffhangers. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts, so we know they definitely have something for you. And it's already included in your Prime membership. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/firsttake. That's amazon.com/firsttake to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Devin Booker is the next Kobe Bryant.
Yep.
I'm saying it on national television. Devin Booker
said it.
Is the next Kobe Bryant.
Yeah.
It is official. His first playoff his first playoff appearance. And the brother's the number one option, averaging over 28, dropped 40 in a triple-double in the first game of the conference finals. And just the way he plays, he's an assassin.
You know, Perk, Twitter, feisty after this, all sorts of fired up. Where are you, sir, on Stephen A. comparing Booker to Kobe?
You know what, Molly? I was actually walking through the airport, and I stopped, and I was grabbing something to eat, watching First Take. And I sit up here, and I said to myself, okay, this is the Senior Citizens Day, okay? They had Stephen A., Max, and Magic on there. And
what
when Stephen A. uttered those words, not you, Molly, not you. When Stephen A. uttered those words out of his mouth, and I saw Magic and Max co-signing, yep, and then Magic over there doing, yeah. I was sitting up there and I was appalled. For the simple fact that, look, I'm not taking anything away from Devin Booker. Offensively, he's talented. He has zero flaws. He has mid-range. He has a pull-up tray. He can handle. He can get to the basket. He has all of that. But when you talk about the great Kobe Bryant and what separates them two, I'm going to just stick to this point. Kobe Bryant was a menace, not just on the offensive end, Miley and Stephen A. and Max, but on the defensive side of things. We're talking about a guy that has 12 NBA all defensive teams, 9 of them first team. I mean, listen. Kobe Bryant, right, was Michael Jordan 2.0 on the perimeter with his skill set. And on the low block, he was Akeem Olajuwon in a 6'6 frame body, okay? Let's not get it twisted. We're talking about arguably the most skilled guy to ever touch the damn basketball. I would not just grant and put Devin Booker in that conversation with Kobe Bryant. Not just yet. I cannot do it. And I'm not about to listen to it.
Well, actually, you are about to listen to it because you're on this show, okay? And obviously, because you do such an exceptional job making me very, very proud, becoming an astute NBA analyst that you are, you also going to be on SportsCenter with Stephen A. in the future as well. So you'll be listening whether you like it or not, Kendrick Perkins. Let's get that out the way. That's number one. Number two, you do have an obligation to decipher and comprehend exactly what I'm saying instead of getting caught up in your emotions and saying, you act like I say he better than Kobe Bryant. No, Kobe Bryant, God rest his wonderful soul, is no longer here. And even before that, he had retired. What I said was he's the next dude. When you look at his game and you look at how he plays, specifically on the offensive end of the floor, tell me somebody who mirrors Kobe more. The mid-range game, the pull-up J's, the threes, the ball handling, how he sits up there and shrugs you off and pulls up butter all day, every day. This dude has averaged better than 25 a game pretty much for the last 4 or 5 years. This dude, Devin Booker, shoots 45% or better from the field. He shoots around 35% from three-point range. Numbers incredibly similar to that of Kobe Bryant. Oh, by the way, as good as Kobe Bryant was from the free throw line, career 83%, Devin Booker's actually better at 87%. So what is it that he can't do offensively? Oh, I forgot. Kobe Bryant scored 81 points in a game because Wilt Chamberlain once had 100. And second was Kobe Bryant. He had 81. Guess what Devin Booker did against your Boston Celtics over a year or so ago? He dropped 70. This is who this dude is. And so when I look at it from that perspective, and I'm seeing, I'm watching him on the basketball court, going against teams, dudes running at him, trying to punk him, trying to act like, you know what, he ain't the babyface assassin that he think he is. That's reserved for Steph Curry. Devin Booker's been like, yo, somebody done told y'all wrong. You better ask somebody. His first playoff appearance, the brothers averaging better than 28. Like, consistently, they're winning basketball games, and he's the number one option. Everybody knows it, and he's one, particularly, and you know this, KP, because like you said, you got the NBA package, and you watch the games. You know I do. So what does he do? You see at times, there's breakdowns with Phoenix's offense. One of those young thoroughbreds get out there. They might not run a play correctly or whatever, and Devin Booker just says, give it to me. I'll clean up for you. Yep.
let's try it again next time down the court. It's who he is. And again, the next Kobe Bryant. Not better, just the next.
Well, welcome to the party, Stephen A., because I've been saying, I've been calling him a mini Mamba. He's an inch or two shorter, so he's physically not as big as Kobe. And Perk, I mean, that, you know, right, Kobe defensively was also different. But their games are very similar. The footwork, the shot-making ability, and all that stuff, and that Kobe was a mentor, that's not surprising. But on top of that, a bigger issue is when the lights shine brightest. And we didn't know this about Book yet because until last year in the bubble, right? Because he's never been in that position. When the lights shine brightest, he plays his best. He doesn't shy away from that. If anything, he gets stronger. He gets better in that moment. So to sit there and deny that you see similarities, that's not even truthful. It's okay to compare two different guys, even if you think one guy is better. I don't think Devin Booker will go down in history side by side with Kobe Bryant. But he is the mini Mamba. His game, his offensive game, his scoring is similar. And by the way, when Stephen A. brings up like the shooting, the three-point shooting, he shoots like 35 and Kobe shot 33. But in Kobe's era, 33 is like 35 now. So with similar games, playing the same position, the same kind of mentality and characteristics, how are you going to sit there and deny the comparison?
Fellas, here's the deal. This conversation's too good. We need to discuss it further, but we got to take a quick break. We'll revisit this a little bit later in the show.